Welcome to Miracles of God with Pastors Joel and Annalisa Jones. In God, we have redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ. All of our sins can be forgiven through the grace of God, our Redeemer. Today's message is a continuance of last week's program. Now is the time for redemption. Let's listen in as Pastor Joel shares the power we have through redemption.
We're continuing with our sermon, Now is the Time for Redemption. Last week, we went over what it means to be redeemed, to be afforded, and to accept salvation in Jesus Christ, okay? We spoke about the various meanings and definitions of redemption, okay? We talked about being saved, reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. We talked about being delivered from sin. All of this has to do with redemption. So it's through redemption that sinners are set free. We're set free from our sins and being slaves to sin. But it only comes through accepting Jesus Christ. That's what you need to know. Now, one of the many scriptures, verses that we examined last week, and you all know this one, I believe, is Ephesians 2:8-9, all right? And I think it bears repeating from a foundational standpoint in conjunction with part two of our sermon. So I'm going to ask Pastor Annalisa to read for us Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9.
Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Verse 9 says, "Not of works, lest anyone should boast."
All righty. Thank you, Pastor. All right. We're reminded that our redemption, then, our salvation is, of course, what? Free, right? Didn't cost anything, okay? We can do nothing to earn it. We can't buy it. It's offered as a gift. Your good looks won't get it for you. No, I'm sorry. It had nothing to do with you receiving salvation. It's a gift, if you will, from God. Now, we're all offered salvation, yet we have a choice to either accept it or to reject it. Does that make sense? Somebody gives you a gift, you can turn it down. I don't see much of that happening around here. But if they do, you do have the right to turn it down. Because we have free will, right? We can choose to remain unredeemed. That's what happens when we turn down God's offer for salvation. We stay where we are. We stay unredeemed. We continue living in our sins. Or on the other hand, we can accept Jesus' offer to be freed from sin. Now, common logic would say you don't want to be a slave to sin. You want to be free from sin. But that takes being redeemed through Christ Jesus. And as I said before, there are a lot of people following religions and following higher powers and following men's man-made religion and following offshoot religions, and they think that they're okay. I don't care what you believe in. I don't know what you might be studying. If it's not the Word of God, and if you have not accepted Jesus Christ, you cannot achieve salvation. That's the truth. Check it out and do your research and find out. So Jesus offers us redemption. Now, as we've learned, once we confess and believe, as quoted in Romans 10:9-10, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, it says we are saved. When that happens, we receive an inheritance. It's like a spiritual trust fund, okay? You got money, not green money, spiritual money, which is better, okay? You have the things, eternal things that God's going to give you. He's going to take care of you while you're here, too, in the natural. You see, you don't have to wait to heaven to be blessed. He's going to bless you, but the preponderance of your blessings are going to come in heaven, because as the Word says in 1 Corinthians 2:9, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, or mind has conceived what God has prepared, what he has in store for those who love him. Okay, so it comes later. You have an inheritance. Just know that it's in there. It's there. But understand this, saints. Not only do you get an inheritance, but when you sign on with Jesus, you are now in a covenant relationship with Jesus. Okay, and that's a good thing, isn't it? Isn't it? I mean, that's a good thing. Some people look around like, ooh, I'm locked in. Yeah, you want to be locked in with Jesus. We need to want to be tied to the creator of the world who spoke the world into existence. It's a good thing because if we truly believe in Jesus and that he died for our sin, if we are truly sincere in our repentance and confessing Jesus as our Lord and Savior, then we truly value and honor, all right, being in a covenant relationship with him. All right, it makes sense. We don't want to be with Jesus just for now. We want to be with Jesus through eternity. Through eternity, okay? Your life from birth to 100 years old is about this many pages of this book. But what about the rest? That's eternity. We want it all, right? We want to be with him all the way. That's the way to look at this. Our life is a vapor. How many of you remember when you were in fifth grade, fourth grade, teenagers? Well, let me go up a little bit. 21. You all remember? All right. So we know that this life passes quickly. I remember when I had little babies. Now they grown thinking they're my father, telling me what to do. And I ain't going to take it. But I remember when they were younger, you know. So life goes like that. Pretty soon we'll be facing eternity. So we know that because we're mature, okay? We're older, mature, Christians. So we know that. It's a better word. It sounds a little easier that way. Younger people may not realize the urgency, but there's an urgency because the time goes like that. So quite naturally, we want to be in this relationship and we confess him as our Lord and Savior, not just for now, but it's forever. See, redemption, now this is what you need to know. Redemption is not just that one-time experience. Yes, you're redeemed when you sign on with Jesus. I want you all to know this, those who are tuning in. But it's a continued experience. Redemption is a continued experience that extends even into heaven. Did you know that? Okay? Long after our lives here on earth are over, redemption still plays into our existence. Did you know that? What we do now depends, has far-reaching effects. Thank you, Pastor. What we're doing now. I read in a quote, and I forgot the name, but this man said, Christ took the hell he didn't deserve so that we could have the heaven that we don't deserve. Does that make sense? What a profound statement, okay? And let me say this. I believe, my opinion, that it's human nature to be short-sighted. We as human beings become what I call short-sighted. That means that our sights are set short of God's glory. I call it being short-sighted. Our sights are set short of God's glory and long on the world's glory if we don't know Jesus. See? And now let me explain what I mean by that. If you don't know Jesus and you're living in this world, you have no other choice than to be short-sighted. You may not like it. It may not sound good. You may think I'm talking about you. No, I'm talking about us. I'm talking about anybody, basically, human beings that don't know Jesus. Don't take it personal, but you don't have a choice. You're short-sighted if you don't know Jesus. And by that I mean that you will set your sights on the things that the world offers you, okay? You, the things that you can get here and now. When you don't know Jesus, you live in the here and now. You're wondering what I can get now. What do I need now? How am I going to do it? What are my plans in the near future? Okay? Because that's all you know. And you know why that's all you know? It's because that's all you see. Because when you don't know Jesus and you don't see him, you're going to see the world. And the world is temporal and the world is passing and the lust of it. That's what the word says. You have no choice. See? Don't feel bad. Just understand that this is good that you know this because, see, 14 years ago, that's how I lived, and I didn't know it. And I had my own plans. And the Lord had to set me straight. So you have a short sight pattern due to the fact that your value system thrives off the things offered in the world. Does that make sense? Your value system thrives off the things often in the world, and it's and the world's corresponding standards. That's what people focus on, okay? That's what they do. So people strive to get what they can, how they can, and when they can. And it's according most times to what's in vogue. It's according to what's trending, what's current in society, okay, in the world right now. But watch this. Here's a scripture. I'm going to give you this scripture, and you ought to know this pretty well now, but let's read it again. Pastor, take us to 1 John 2:15 and 16. You don't have to read 17. Let's just go to 1 John 2:15, 16, and look at this other side of it.
1 John 2:15 and 16 says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Now, I know you all know that scripture, and I know there's more to it. There's more of it. But that's all we need to talk about right now. This is a warning, folks. This passage is a warning about how easy it is to become seduced by the things of the world. There's a seduction going on. You know who's at fault. It's the devil, okay? He's waving these things in under our noses, okay? But it's easy to become seduced by the world, going after the things like the lust of the eyes, things that look good to you. We just fall all over them, y'all. That special man. That special woman. Truth be told, nowadays, it might be that special man who's part man, or woman who's part woman. Nowadays, this is the world now. Tell me if I'm lying. If I'm wrong, let me know. Okay? Okay. Point is, if you see it and you like it, then you go for it. One way or the other. That's the lust of the eyes. That is what the lust of the eyes is. Now, the Bible tells us that. And usually it's by the world's standard. See, because we can create good if we like it enough. Even though the Bible says it's wrong, the world will say it's right. And if the world says it's right and everybody likes it, then guess what? It becomes accepted. And then it's easier for us to go for it. That's being short-sighted. We're being influenced by the world's standards. Now, maybe you never heard it that way, but this is what the scripture is telling us, okay? Now, the Bible is also saying that if it not only looks good to you, but it feels good to you. That's the lust of the flesh. Now, here's an example. You're married, but your flesh just gets excited when you're thinking about somebody else other than your spouse. Sorry, wifey. Sorry, hubby. But that goes on in the world, and that's the lust of the flesh, okay? And even if you're not married, maybe you're single, but you just want to hop in the bed with Miss Thing or Mr. Thing, that's still called the lust of the flesh. You feel something that moves you, something that you enjoy, something that's pleasurable to you, and it could be that or anything in between. Still the lust of the flesh. Same with other fleshly desires. I always mention food, okay? Like eating the wrong foods. You're diabetic, okay? But you just salivate every week for a rich banana pudding. Somebody's raising their hand right now. Rich peach cobbler. Don't spare the butter. How dare you put margarine in peach cobbler? Or butter light, or light butter, or whatever. Still, you like it because it tastes good to you, right? And it's the same thing. You could have an alcohol or drug addiction. Same thing. And you can't keep your mind on anything else except trying to get that feeling that you first got when you had your first hit of cocaine. And you're searching for it, searching for it, searching for it. Or your first hit of heroin, or whatever the case may be. These are also the lust of the flesh. You see how we're seduced? You see how seduction is? It comes in a variety of ways, in a variety of colors, okay? Now, the pride of life is something as well. And in many ways, we are pulled away by the pride of life, people who base their lives on money and power. No matter how they get it, some by legal means, but then we're not averse to doing something illegal, okay? And while in society we don't take kindly to bank robbers, and there are white-collar criminals that's doing the same thing, that get by. You see what I mean? It's the same thing. It's the pride of life. Some people are not criminals, but they desire riches and money to such a degree that it's criminal in God's eyes. You see, because they've made that quest for money and power their God. So it's not criminal in the world, but it's criminal in God's eyes because you're putting it before him, and that makes you short-sighted. It's criminal to your family because they never see you, and you care more about money than spending time with your children. It's criminal. And these are the things. This is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, where we put our families second to careers and to money, and then you wake up one day and your son doesn't know you, or your daughter. Who wrote that song, "Cats in the Cradle"? That song, Harry Chapin, right? Well, I forgot the words. Cat Stevens. Cats in the Cradle. Well, I'll let y'all don't fight about it, but yeah, I'm getting the flesh, but no. Somebody said Joe Cocker. No, it's not Joe Cocker. Joe Cocker, more like, hey, no, it's not. But I'm just saying that these are the nuances of the pride of life. Status seekers. Some people even covet what other people have. They want so badly to be somebody special at all costs. This is the pride of life. They desire adulation, flattery. They thirst for trinkets and opulent lifestyles. This is all the pride of life when you put it before everything else. And we have to be cognizant of this, okay? So this is what 1 John, these things, this is what he's talking about. It tells us, don't go down that road. It'll trap you. It's a trap, okay? You'll become blinded by it. Proverbs 4, verses 14 to 15 warns us, saying, do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of evil. It says avoid it. Do not travel down on it. Turn away from it and pass on. That's what we need to do when we see things like that, when we realize it. But how can we even realize it without knowing Jesus? You see the slippery slope? You're in it and you don't even know it. I always talk about the fishbowl effect. From raising fish when we were a kid. And I always wondered, when we took the fish out of the water to put them in a clean and clean their tank, they would come to the window and they would just, and they would look. It would appear to me with those big old eyes that they're looking, saying, is that what I was in? That dirty water? I never want to be back in that kind of water again. Because when you're in the dirty water, you're used to swimming in it. We're used to swimming in our sins, but Jesus gives us the opportunity to step out of it and say, why would I ever go back to that? Why would I ever go back to that vomit? Why would I ever go back to that? That's why it says in Galatians 5:1, to stand fast in the liberty by which Christ has made you free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Why would you ever go back to being a slave? Why would you ever go back to being a prisoner? That's what he's talking about. So it's sobering. This scripture in 1 John and Proverbs, it's all sobering that to alert us to the fact that we need to steer clear of this. Here's another one. Take us, Pastor, please, to the Epistle of Matthew, chapter 6, and just read verses 19 to 23 for us. And read what Jesus is saying in this scripture.
Matthew 6, verses 19 to 23 says to us, this is Jesus speaking to us, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal." Verse 21, Jesus tells us, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light." And verse 23, Jesus tells us, "But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness?"
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. You see, here Jesus is teaching that we're not to hunger for the temporal things. Don't be so enamored about stuff, folks, that type of thing. The things that you're going to run into in society, the in crowd, the next big thing. Don't be so excited about that stuff. It's all temporal, okay? Yeah, it does have some consequences, but your heavenly consequences are much more important. The things that Jesus has for us in heaven, because sooner or later we're all going to be faced with our own mortality. Sooner or later, okay? You see, so Jesus is saying not to hunger for the temporal things. Basically, they're going to just rust, rot, and ruin. All right? That's what he's saying. And in verse 21, Jesus gives us a huge clue. He says, "Where your treasure is, your heart will be also." Okay? That means that the things we covet most, friends, are directly related to our heart's desires. Think about what you like most. It'll tell you where your heart is. Think about what moves you most. Think about what you think about in the morning when you first get up, what you plan on doing. Do you plan on shopping? If so, is it for you or somebody else? When you start when we start examining our hearts, see, whatever the case may be, it could be a variety of things, so it's just coming off the top of my head. But it's a heart issue, and Jesus says, don't thirst for the temporal things, because it's a clue. That means the things we covet most are directly related to our heart. So much so that Jesus says in verse 22 and 23 that what's in us will show in our eyes.
Wow. Now is a good time to examine our hearts and purify ourselves from all unrighteousness. Praise God, redemption is here and available to all. You're listening to Miracles of God with Pastor Joel Jones, sponsored in part by Spirit of Truth Church Worldwide in Fairfield, California. Previous broadcasts, along with today's message, are available on demand at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. We love connecting with our listeners. Like and connect with us on Facebook. Submit comments, prayer requests, and praise reports at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. And listen, if Pastor Joel's messages are ministering to you, let us know. Share your testimonies on our contact page. We appreciate your faithful support and pray the Lord continues to strengthen you as you follow Him. Miracles of God is a listener-supported program. All financial donations are tax-deductible and accepted on our secure website. Giving is easy. simply click on the donate button on our website to give today. And as a friendly reminder, all on-site services have been canceled until the shelter-in-place order is lifted. Spirit of Truth Church Worldwide is praying for you and trusting the Lord to draw you, protect you, and keep you healthy and strong. During these troubling times, know that God is with us and will bring us through victoriously. If you're feeling alone, frustrated, or in need of encouragement, our prayer warriors are here and ready to pray with you. Give us a call at 707-759-5244. We also invite you to Sunday worship services live on Periscope at 1 p.m. Services are also available on YouTube and on SpiritOfTruthChurchWorldwide.com. We encourage you to join us for prayer at 7 p.m. and Bible study at 8 p.m. Wednesday as we walk through the Bible together. And don't forget to tune into Miracles of God next week for the continuation of Now is the Time for Redemption with Pastor Joel. Until next time. God is-